And now it's time for Shelf Life, news from the Witcher at Stouffville Public Library, with your host, librarian Catherine Sword.
Hello, everyone, and today I have an author to visit and talk with, and it's a little different from my usual author visits because Erin Thomas is a young adult writer. And even more so, you're dealing with a specialized group within young adults, the reluctant readers. So, Erin, tell us a little bit about how you got into this kind of writing and what exactly is writing for a reluctant reader.
Okay. The first time I heard about books for reluctant readers, I was in teacher's college. And what I learned then was that these books were for kids who, for one reason or another, were not reading at grade level. They might just not enjoy reading. They might not have been around books a lot growing up. There might be a learning disability. English as a second language can also be a reason. Or just kids that haven't got the reading bug for one reason or another. So these books are supposed to be high action, you know, with lots of things in there to hook the readers. Although the story is written at grade level, so the complexity in the characters are everything that, say, a grade 5 student would want to read about. The language in the book is a little bit simpler. It's probably for a grade 5 reluctant reader, it would be more like a grade 2 or grade 3 writing level.
Okay. But that still encourages them to read. Is that the whole idea, that once you get excited about something to keep going?
There's a story I have about my cousin, actually, who was not a child when he picked up my first Orca Sports book, Border Patrol. You know, he was a young man in his 20s, and Christopher had never been much of a reader. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's a good cousin.
Yes,
so
yeah.
He gave my book a shot, and he read it.
Oh, wonderful.
And I got a phone call from him saying that he sort of enjoyed reading that book, and it wasn't painful, and it wasn't like a trip to the dentist, which I thought was nice. I didn't know if he was just saying that because he's my cousin. And he asked if I knew anything else that he might like to read.
Wonderful.
And, oh, boy, did I like to hear that question.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we made a family project of it. I talked to my brother. I talked to whoever
I
could think of to find what else Christopher might like to read. And eventually it turned out that what Christopher likes to read is adult nonfiction crime novels.
Exactly.
So he read a bunch of those. He took books on his honeymoon, and we're all thrilled.
Isn't that wonderful? Now, you're taking me back to my early youth. And, not really my early youth. Anyways, I worked at a bookstore before I became a librarian, and often had grandparents, especially coming in, determined to introduce their grandchildren to the classics. Mm-hmm. And it was just not going to be a fun experience. I could just tell. And after a while, you know, you get people who would come in and they'd get familiar and they don't know. Their grandchild doesn't like to read, or their nephew doesn't like, or their son doesn't like to read, or their daughter doesn't like to read. And I said, well, what do they like?
Mm-hmm.
Because not everyone's going to like fiction. Sometimes they like nonfiction. And if their child likes bugs, buy them a bug identification guide.
Yeah.
And off they go. In those days, too, the reluctant reading books, I have to admit, were boring. They were obviously meant for a younger audience and insulting to the group. Now, you were writing for Orca Publishing. What was it again?
I have written books for two publishers. One is HIP Books, High Interest Publishing. They're located in Toronto, but they sell mostly directly to schools and mostly in the US, I think.
Okay.
And the other is another Canadian publisher, Orca Books. They're located out on the West Coast. Yeah.
Right. And those are actually well put together. Nice pocketbooks. They're comfortable for young adults. Mm-hmm. I'm saying young adults. How young? You mentioned grade 5. Are you writing for that level as well?
Well, with the Orca Sports books, I'm really not aiming at the grade 5s. I'm aiming more at probably grade 7, 8 and early high school. But younger kids do read these.
Oh, yeah.
So
they're pretty exciting.
Sort of
one
have
in
that
your,
in mind.
The one in your hand, the Border Patrol.
Snowboarder on the cover, always good.
Right. The border is a pun. I like that. And it looks fun. And I can see the younger.
Yeah.
Not a problem at all reading with them. And they're exciting. They're not a lesson plan, are they?
No. No, they're very much not.
Now, Orca has different series, and I have some from the library. One was Orca Currents, and I'm going to have to look at this one. It's a book called The Fraud Squad. It seems to have something to do with dinosaurs, and I can think of a few young people who might like to read that. But you prefer to write for Orca Sports. Why?
I'm not saying that I wouldn't write for Orca Soundings or Orca Currents. Those are their other two reluctant reader series that they offer. I just haven't had a story idea that felt like a fit for those yet that I wanted to tell. I got into writing for Orca Sports actually through my agent at the time was Lisa Henderson before she retired. and she let me know that Orca was looking for sports books. I had actually been a ski patroller for a while at Lake Ridge Ski
Hill.
Really?
Yeah, okay.
Not too far from here. And I'd always had it in the back of my head that it would be sort of fun to write a book that was set on a ski hill.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, you, as a ski patroller, you get to do some of the behind-the-scenes stuff. You get to be on the hill when nobody else is. It's kind of fun. So when she said they were looking for a sports book, I just sort of, it seemed like a good chance
That's
to give
a great
that a
idea.
Try.
So,
I really loved working with Orca. The editor, Sarah Harvey, was great. The new editor for the Orca Sports, Krista House, she's a lovely person too. So, yeah, I have a couple other sports-related ideas that I might get to one day.
Wonderful. Now, you said you had an agent. Is that the best way for a writer who might have an idea for this to go through an agent? Or could they contact the publisher and say, I have an idea for your Orca Sports series?
For this particular market, and in Canada, you don't need an agent.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can write a letter to Query Orca with a
okay.
sports idea, and anybody really should if they're interested, because I think they're looking for titles for the sports line right now.
Okay. So yeah, I can imagine that's a really hot market to get.
Yeah.
I know in our business, the public library, it's been more challenging to get young boys to read than young girls.
Yeah,
and sports
often.
Is a way to do that. They like to read about the baseball, the Matt Christophers, the others as well. But you are reading some to us before the radio, and I'm going to get you to read at some point. And I find them exciting. You've got a little bit of suspense. And the books that you brought today, two of them are water-related. So you've gone from skiing to water?
Well, that was actually just a funny coincidence. I ended up, these two books, Overboard with HIP books, and Haze with Orca Sports, both came out last spring, which also means that I was working on the first drafts of them at about the same time, and the research stage at about the same time, and the editing stage at about the same time. So it wasn't really a good thing that they were both water books, but that was just the way it turned out.
Well,
the
I was just
going to
say,
I would get a little confused sometimes.
I was just going to say, well, let's give our listeners a little insight into the life of a writer trying to juggle two books at the same time.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't do that again on purpose.
Okay. I was going to say, I would tend to want to write one project because that gets complicated enough.
Well, I usually do have more than one on the go, and I think most of my writing friends do as well have. And it works out quite well to have projects in different stages. So you're maybe researching one thing and maybe you're in early writing on something else and final polishing edits, because those are sort of using different areas of your brain, I guess, if that makes sense.
So are you a full-time writer?
I am now, yes.
Wow. Wonderful.
I am a full-time writer with an 8-year-old, if that counts.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. Yeah, so you spend time researching things. And I think that's the other one. I had a person say to me one day that old fiction was easy. You just made everything up. And I thought,
no.
Tell us about that.
Well, I really enjoy the research part, actually. Right now, I'm researching stage magic. We were talking a bit about that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
For possibly another Orca book, or, you know, if it doesn't end up going there, I'll use it in something else. But I really like that you can learn about these different things. It's an excuse to find out about something you've always wanted to know about. And I find that people are really wonderful and open when you want to talk to them about their area of expertise. When I was researching Overboard, I got in touch with the Whitby Yacht Club, and there was a skipper. Just look up the name here, make sure I get it right. Skipper Alan Riggs, he actually let me come on board his sailboat and tour it and take pictures and so that I would, you know when I was describing this thing how many steps it is from one part to the other.
Wonderful.
And really get a sense for it. And the really fun part about that conversation was when we sat down on the deck and I said, you have a really nice boat. Now, say I needed to sink it. What would I do? But he had a good sense of humor, so he told me different ways that the boat could sink.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was really fun. For Haze, I researched swimming and I spoke to a woman who's involved with the Whitby Dolphin Swim Club, and her name is Kathy Girard, and I was so impressed by her energy and her passion for the sport. I have a daughter who loves to swim, and she now takes swimming lessons through Kathy's school and is involved with the Whitby Dolphins, and she loves it. So that was fun. And it turned out, in talking to Kathy, that competitive swimming in Canada doesn't work quite the way that would have been convenient for my book. So I had to do some research and set it in the United States, where things work a little bit differently. And I ended up with this private school setting. So I got to go speak to someone at Trafalgar Castle School, someone at St. Andrews, find out. You find out all these things that you can use in other books. And it's fun.
I kind of think of the writer's life and the librarian's life similar in that it's permission to be curious about anything.
Yes, get to be very nosy.
Yeah. What are you working on now, or what are you curious about now?
Well, I think I mentioned that I'm researching the stage magic. So that's right. The one that's sort of in the research stage right now. I'm also thinking
spaceships.
About...
spaceships. Get yourself invited onto a spaceship.
What?
Well,
it's very weird that you said that, actually, because I have a juvenile manuscript that's getting close to submission ready. I'm in sort of the last few. I'm hoping to have it going out sometime later this fall or early winter. And the title of that is Tyler's Intergalactic Spy School.
So it does
have spaceships and aliens, and that one's fun. But I didn't get to talk any aliens firsthand. I just didn't know any. It's really awkward.
Oh, yeah. It could be some of my family members, I think. But a whole other story there. The writer's life is definitely a lot of fun. So I think we would want to give our listeners an idea of what your voice sounds like in the Overboard story. So shall we set up that reading?
Okay. Overboard is the story of a young boy, Tanner, who goes on a yacht cruise ship with his father, his younger sister, Amy, and a boy named Corey, who is the son of his dad's girlfriend. Tanner really doesn't like Corey that much.
Okay.
Things go wrong in all the ways that the nice skipper at Whitby Yacht Club told me that they could. And the sailboat ends up with an engine fire and sinking. The kids are put into the life raft, and Corey unhooks the life raft because he panics and thinks that the boat's going to bring them down. Oh. So they are in a life raft, the three kids stranded, while the father and the skipper are still on the sailboat. I stared into the storm. With each gust of wind, we pulled away from the sinking Sparta. With each wave, she grew smaller. "Dad!" I screamed, cupping my hands around my mouth. The wind carried my voice away. I didn't realize I was standing until Amy tugged at my wrist. "Get down!" But I didn't. I couldn't. Two tiny figures appeared on the deck of the Sparta. I couldn't see what they were doing. One of them pointed our way. I waved my arms back and forth. How could we get back there? Then I had an idea. "There have to be paddles in this thing," I shouted. "Get me the paddles." Amy held up an aluminum paddle. It was no bigger than the plastic ones on a child's blow-up boat. I stared at it. "The other one's broken," she said. I grabbed the good paddle from her. I knelt at the side of the raft, leaned over, and started paddling. It was worse than useless. The waves pushed us where they wanted, and the waves didn't want us back with the Sparta. I screamed and threw the tiny paddle out to sea. Then I panicked and tried to reach it. "Moron!" Corey grabbed me by the shoulders and pulled me back to the center of the raft. "What did you do that for?" "My dad's on that boat," I said. I felt like someone had punched a hole in me and let all the air out. My voice was small and my eyes burned. "And there's nothing we can do about it," Corey said. I shook him off and knelt in the middle of the raft. The Sparta was a speck now, a small speck on a big ocean. I stared and stared. As long as I kept her in sight, Dad and I were connected. But I was too weak. I blinked. The Sparta disappeared.